Last week and week before, that it's not Moshe's job to orchestrate the Exodus, only to follow God's commands. I hope that was clear. We did that from the beginning. God told him at the burning bush, I heard the cry, therefore I'm taking them out. I heard the cry, therefore you take them out. And then therefore God's taking them out. Then Raniva lo malach, we say at the Seder. And Moshe's job is let's listen to God. And I try to explain how Moshe is trying his best to explain to God why his job will be difficult, trying to, you know, how he's going to manage all the challenges he has. And God is basically telling him, I'll help you out. Don't worry. I'll take care. I'm even sending your brother to be a spokesperson. I'm aware of everything. Just listen to me. And therefore, my point, which I want to show you today, is that Moshe doesn't know how many plagues there's going to be. I'll try and prove that. And we have to try to explain why God's doing it in such a way. But the main thing I want to teach you today, I want to focus on today, because it's going to be a principle that will take us through our study of all Sefer Shemot. I call it thinking not out of the box, but into the box, meaning there's going to be units in Sefer Shemot that will help explain why the book is often out of chronological order and a little jumpy. In other words, when you study Sefer Shemot, the classic example is the story of the golden calf. It's a before after the Mishkan. There's a unit of the commandment for the Mishkan. There's a unit of the sin of the golden calf. And Chazal were very quick to take these units and move them around. But to appreciate how the rabbis identify units and move them around, first we have to understand how Chumash works in units. And today I want to show you a classic example of identifying a unit. It's a style which I think you'll understand once I show it to you. It's rarely done when we teach Chumash because people don't have time to really study the text and analyze the text that carefully. But I want to try and show you today a very clear unit, which is really easy to identify, and how that's going to explain a very basic chronological problem. Okay, so we're going to get to work. Okay, and today we call it 7-Eleven. For those who live in the United States, you know, 7-Eleven is the name of a fast food chain, or I forgot what it's called, not fast food, but...
Convenience store.
The convenience store, that's the word. In Israel, they're called Yellows. Not all of them, but that's the name in Israel. So the... But you'll see what I mean. It's a way to remember from chapter 7 to 11. We'll explain the unit. Now, luckily, this course happens to coincide a week or two after Parshat Shavua, so everyone's familiar with the material. One of the big questions in chapter 6 were the genealogies, which I'm sure you remember. In the middle of chapter 6, we have like 20 psukim that talk about the genealogies of Moshe and Aaron's family and their children, and starting from Levi and Amram. And basically, it's almost introducing the cast of Sefer Shemot. But the question is, why isn't that in the beginning of the book or earlier in the book when Moshe is born? Moshe is born, everyone is without a name, almost everyone's anonymous. And all of a sudden, we find out everyone's name later on in chapter 6. So today we'll try to give an answer for that. But to do that, I'm going to follow the events. Just I want to review all the events that happened up until then. So I'll explain quickly. Moshe got his job. And at the burning bush, we did almost the entire burning bush narrative. And then the first thing he has to do is go to the elders of Israel and get his credentials approved to enable him to go to Pharaoh and demand that we go and serve a God in the desert. I try to explain why that was his mission. So therefore, a quick review, Moshe and Aaron, after Moshe meets Aaron in the desert by God's mountain, by Har Sinai, Moshe and Aaron gathered together the elders of Israel. Pasuk Chavtet, that we're in Perek Hey. And by Deber Aaron of Kol Dvarim, Aaron tells all the things. I'm sorry, this is the end of chapter 4. Aaron tells the elders all the things that God told him, that God told Moshe. They do the signs in front of the people. And then the most important point, by Yamein Ha'am, the people trust or support what Moshe told them. Basically, they accept their credentials. And they hear the news that God remembered his people. He saw their suffering. Remember, this balances perfectly the beginning of the burning bush. Remember, God says, "Ra'o ra'iti et oniyam ha'ashem Mitzrayim." Let me just show you real fast. See that? Ki ra'a et oniyam. If you want to understand structure in Chumash, just show you. We made a big deal about this before. Where's our Chumash? At the beginning of the burning bush, I should have just kept it on last week's source sheet, but it's the same difference. After God introduces himself, God says, I heard their tzaka, therefore I'm going to take them out. And then I heard the cry, therefore you take them out. But remember, God's opening line, and therefore I'm coming to take you out. And basically, at the first stage, Moshe is actually successful. It won't last very long. But if we go back to our source sheet now, what did God say? Vayamein ha'am, vayishma ki pakad Hashem v'kira'at yonam. He saw their suffering, vayikdu, okay, vayishtachavu. Now begins all the failures. What happened? Moshe and Aaron go to Paro, demand that God that he send them out to serve me in the desert. Paro never heard of this God. And then the big line, the Elohei Ivrim called upon us to go a 3-day distance to the desert to serve our God. Because if we don't, we talked about this last week a lot, if not, we're going to hit by all these different plagues. And slowly we have to convince the Egyptians. Of course, as God told him, Paro's not going to listen. But even though he told Moshe Paro's not going to listen, he didn't tell him it's going to get worse. And therefore, when they double the workload and things get worse, the officers of Israel, the Shotrim, encounter Moshe and Aaron, and they yell at them, basically, you made things worse. You promised redemption. And therefore, this great belief or trust that the people had in Moshe and Aaron is beginning to falter. Moshe now goes back to God, as we saw before, and complains, how come things got worse? And basically saying, I told you I'm not the right man for the job. And God's answer just tells Moshe Rabbeinu, and we made a big deal about this, God doesn't tell Moshe Rabbeinu, here's why. He says, now basically you just wait and see. Now, Tireh, you'll see what I'm going to do to Pharaoh, because when I'm finished with him, not yet, but give me some time. And that's going to be the wordplay throughout the story. God's Yad Chazakah with the plagues is going to cause Egypt's Yad Chazakah. Remember, Tekasek Mitzrayim, Alam Lemer L'Shachem Min Aretz. The Egyptians are going to use their Yad Chazakah to kick us out of Egypt, and therefore we'll be thrown out of Egypt. And therefore, God's Yad Chazakah is going to cause Pharaoh's Yad Chazakah to send us to serve a God in the desert. God's telling Moshe Benu, that's my master plan, but you don't know how it's going to happen yet. Basically, just keep on listening to me. So that's Moshe's first encounter with Pharaoh, and he failed, but God wanted him to fail, but he failed way more than he thought he would. Okay. Now he's going to go to, oh, I skipped something here. Now we're going to go back to this in a minute. That's where Parsha Be'er begins in chapter 6. God tells Moshe Benu, now go tell Bnei Israel, Ani Hashem, and promise them, even though things are worse, etc. Remember, give the people encouragement. There will be redemption. I'm your God. I'll redeem you. And as we would expect, Moshe tells that to the people. They don't listen to Moshe. They don't believe. We'll discuss this later on, what they didn't do. But basically, Moshe strikes out twice. Remember? His mission to Pharaoh failed. As God said, it failed way worse than he thought. His mission to Am Yisrael fails. First they believe, now they don't believe. And now he's really on a down. It's like we've hit a low point. Now, at this point, that's what we got up to. After Moshe fails telling the people about their future redemption, V'lo Shomer Moshe, what should he do next? That's a big question. Listen now what God tells him to do. We're in beginning of Parsha Ve'era, in chapter 6, verses 10 to 13. Again, Moshe failed twice, right before the genealogies. Vayedaber Hashem Moshe l'mor, bo daber el Paro melech Mitzrayim, v'shalach et bnei Yisrael mi'artzo. Go talk to Pharaoh and send my people out. I'm going to stop here for a minute. Tell me, if you were Moshe Rabbeinu, why would you be reluctant to go to Pharaoh again?
Didn't work.
Why should Moshe not want to go? I know you know what he's going to say, but just think on your own.
It didn't work the first time. And
Worse than that.
he's very strict and he's very terrible and he'll kill me.
That's his side.
Yeah,
But last time they doubled the workload.
Yeah, I'll make it worse for Bnei Israel.
Now make it even worse. If he doesn't listen, that's one thing. Okay, so be a rabbi's speech. Okay, they don't listen. But because of the rabbi's speech, it gets worse. I mean, it makes perfect sense why Moshe would be reluctant to go. And then he says, it made it worse last time. And on top of that, I failed going to the people. And that's what Moshe is going to say. He's going to give two reasons why it's not going to work. He gives a kal v'chomer. Why, if Abiso doesn't listen to me, if they don't hear the good news, why should Pharaoh listen to me? What aras v'atai means, we'll leave alone for later. Maybe we'll get it later today. But is that a speech impediment, or is that He's not the person to talk. We can discuss that. That's in the Parshanim. Now, listen what God tells Moshe Rabbeinu afterwards. That's what's going to be important now. Because we're about to start something major. Now, what happens? Oh, we did here. This is the right source sheet. Yeah, class number 3. I know we got to the beginning again. Here we are. Okay. Okay. So Moshe tells God, Hey, Bnei Yisrael, lo shomrei lev, eich yishmeinu paro v'ani rasvatayim. And listen to God's answer. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe ba'aron, we'll discuss this in a second together. Vaytzaveim el Bnei Yisrael, ve'al paro melech Mitzrayim, lo tzeh Bnei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim. Now, God saw Moshe and Aaron, he commands them to Bnei Yisrael and to Pharaoh to take the people out of Egypt. Now, is that a commandment to go to Pharaoh or to go to the Jewish people? Or both?
Both.
Both.
Okay, what's he supposed to tell Pharaoh? To take the people out of Egypt, then to go serve the God in the desert. What's he supposed to tell the Jewish people?
That they're being saved.
But why is that a commandment? Now, most Parshanim understand it. This El doesn't mean to, but about the people of Israel. Look in the Parshanim later on. As God tells Moshe and Aaron, command about the people of Israel to tell Pharaoh to send my people out. That's what a lot of people go that direction. Because it doesn't make sense, what's he commanding the people? But if I follow, it doesn't make sense that El would mean here, different than what it means here. Now, if I'm following my whole point, that Moshe has two jobs. One is to take the Jews out of Egypt. The other is to take Egypt out of the Jews. Moshe's going to, and Aaron have a double commandment. First, to command the people to be worthy, we'll see, of leaving Egypt. And to Pharaoh to send them out. Moshe has to convince the Jewish people to make them ready, not just to believe that God exists, but to be eager to become God's people. We're going to follow that, not this week, but in the weeks to come. In other words, Moshe's most difficult job is not just convincing Pharaoh to send them out. He also has to get the Jewish people ready for redemption. That's his major job. That makes the Moshe Rabbeinu. That's an educational job. And boy, is that difficult. That's going to be a big theme. And that'll explain this Sivui later on. We'll do that next week. But for this week, we're going to follow his command to Pharaoh. Why am I making a big deal about the two commands? Because now Chumash is going to split in two directions. We're going to go, first we're going to focus. That's I want to build a box here. At this point, Moshe has two jobs, to command to get the Jewish people ready with Ani Hashem, to get Pharaoh ready to send them out. He fails on both. He fails terribly. And understandably, he fails. Now, as this ends, what happens? God summarizes to tell Moshe, even though you failed, I'm commanding you again to do the job. Listen to me, even though you failed. And now we're going to go in two directions. From chapter 7 to 11 coming up, we're going to focus getting Egypt ready for the Exodus. And then in chapter 12, we'll go back to the Jewish people. In other words, I'm going to have to go from Ani Hashem, Votzeti, Vitzalti, Vigalti, Ani Hashem. I have to go from Moshe, Moshe. From here, I have to go right to Parshat HaChodesh. From the beginning of chapter 6, with the four Lashonot of Gula, and the whole theme of Ani Hashem, we'll talk about that next week. From here, I need to go to Parshat HaChodesh, and Am Yisrael is not ready yet for redemption. Pesach, or Zevach Pesach, is going to get them ready for the Exodus. In the meantime, I need to get Egypt ready. That's going to be chapter 7 to 11. Before I begin this break, I'm going to put a buffer, and that's going to be Elo Rosh HaBeit Avotam. Chumash is going to use the genealogies as a buffer before we begin the two different units. I'll show you now what I mean. Right, what I did, I took the closest thing to Matak Koran. I took just the Parshiot, how did Perek Vav end? I mean, Perek Hey ended, being Perek Vav. God told Moshe Rabbeinu, you'll see. Remember, Moshe failed. He says, you'll see what I'll do to Pharaoh, Yad Chazaka. Then he tries to get Am Yisrael ready in the beginning of Parsha Vayera and fails. God tells Moshe again, get the people ready. Remember? Moshe says, well, I can't. And God says, commands him to Bnei Yisrael and to Pharaoh. Then I have a buffer. I said the genealogies chronologically belonged earlier. They're being used as a buffer to highlight or to delimit the new unit. That's what I'm trying to show you. Chumash is using this unit of Toledot. It's introducing a story, even though we have these characters earlier, But I'm using these genealogies as a buffer to begin a new unit, to separate the failure for the recovery. Now, look how the new unit begins. Watch what happens now. Chumash is going to go back. Rashi points it out. He says, why am I going back and saying what we said before? Earlier in chapter 6, Moshe said, no, I can't do it because I'm aras for time and with the Kavu Chomer. Now, God repeats to Moshe, again, Ani Hashem, speak to Paro Melech Mitzrayim, everything I'm telling you. And Moshe says, Ani aras for time. Now, let's compare this to this. Let me show you. Let me annotate real quick. Yeah, this is something all the Parshanim talk about. What happened? If I take this, oh, wait a second, that's not good. I wanted to draw a circle, but we'll do it this way. If I take this command, okay, God tells Moshe and Aaron, command Bnei Israel and to Paro to take them out of Egypt, buffer. And then they get the same command, speak to Paro, king of Egypt, what I'm telling you. And Moshe says, Aneros for time. It's similar, but it's different. So tell me how it's similar and how it's different. Remember, Rashi says, Chozer al Rishonot, he's going back to the way he started because we left off because of the buffer. But what makes this one different than this one? Anyone want to suggest?
One says Vayedaber, the other one says Vayetzaveim.
Okay, no, it's, so yeah, this is a commandment to do that. Okay, and now that's one major difference. What's the other major difference?
It doesn't say El Bnei Yisrael.
Bnei Yisrael out of the picture.
Yeah.
Got it? In other words, I'm basically taking this command and filtering out Bnei Yisrael from the command and focusing on who? On Pharaoh. Okay. And therefore, I'm a Ras for time. I could have two reasons out for Ras for time. One is I don't know how to speak, or because I failed last time. Okay. How can I go? I made a fool out of myself last time. He doubled the workload. I'm not the one to talk. In other words, I can give a technical reason or a physical reason for him saying I'm a Ras for time. I'm no one to talk because I'm not the person to talk because I failed last time, or maybe I don't know how to express myself properly. Either way, the focus now is on Pharaoh and the people out of the picture. From here on, now we're going to start chapter 7. Let's get that right. Now we start chapter 7. I have to get rid of my drawings. Good old drawings. When this is over, see the Abras Fatam, I just marked them together. Starting in chapter 7, Am Yisrael is out of the picture. We're out of the picture until chapter 12. From here on, it's between Moshe and Pharaoh, and it's called the nine plagues. Or the 10 plagues if you want to count 10, if you want to count Tanin. We'll see why there's 333. The question is how the 333 works. We'll deal with that in a minute. But now I want to show you how chapter 7 begins. God tells Moshe, I'm sending you to Pharaoh. Aaron will be your spokesperson. Remember here, the word Navi means a spokesperson. It was, I'm sending you to Pharaoh. Aaron will be your spokesperson. You're a Ras for time, and therefore, you'll speak. You'll speak what I'm commanding you. You tell that to Aaron. Aaron will speak to Pharaoh on your behalf to tell him to send my people out to go serve their God. And then the famous thing, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart and make my to bring my plagues. Now, I want to show you how the unit begins now. I just have the psukim here in English. I want to focus on this. I want to show you the beginning and end of a unit, how its perfect book ends. Look how it begins. God tells Moshe, understand, I'm sending you to Pharaoh. That's your job here in this unit. Aaron will be your spokesperson. You're the one. I'm going to command you. You'll tell Aaron. Aaron will help you. And that's the introduction. And I want him to send my people out to serve me. Now comes a big line. I'm telling you now, you're going to fail, and it's your job to fail. And Paro won't listen to you. And then I'm going to bring all my plagues on Egypt. Remember my yad, that's going to be my yad chazakah. And then I'll take my people out of Egypt. Because who's going to take them out? Even though Pharaoh's going to take them out, God did it. You follow God's orchestrating? So even though Moshe's doing things and Pharaoh's doing things, Chumash is highlighting, we say in Agada, Nivolo Malach, Nivolo Saraf, God is orchestrating the whole event. Again, who gets the credit? Remember we talked about that, if you're a movie watcher, the producer or the actor or the screenwriter, or if you're football, is the head coach or the quarterback, if you're in a Super Bowl season. Is that today or next week? I think it's next week. I forget. Okay, we'll look at it later on. Either way, it's not now, it's too early in the morning. Now, what's the conclusion? Look how these psukim, I will show you how they're introductory. V'yadu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem, Egypt, after doing all these plagues, right? They'll know that I'm God by extending my hand on all of Egypt. And then I will take my people again, v'hotzeiti b'nei, I'm taking them out of Egypt, even though Pharaoh's going to kick them out of Egypt. Now, look at this pasuk and tell me what's going on. V'yas Moshe v'Aaron kasher tziva Hashem otam ken asu. Is this pasuk here? Look at it. Is this real time or is this introduction? Are Moshe and Aaron doing something now? Or is this an introduction?
It looks like an introduction. Because they also, he goes also to explain the you know, their ages. Okay. So it looks like Psukim, you know, like verses 6 and 7 look like an introduction.
Yeah, it has to be an introduction because they're not doing anything yet. This is introducing Moshe and Aaron are going to do everything God commanded. Kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe. What am I highlighting? God is orchestrating everything. Moshe and Aaron are his privates, are his little soldiers doing their job. God's orchestrating everything. And I want to show you, you can't miss that theme when you look at the unit. Now, I introduced Moshe and Aaron. We just had their genealogies beforehand. So now the buffer fits into this introduction. And now, in the next 4 or 5 chapters, Moshe and Aaron are going to do exactly as God commanded. Up until one little point, we'll talk about if Moshe might break orders in a minute. We'll see. Now, then we have the first plague. Before I go through all these, I want to show you something. I'm going to stop the share. I'm going to open up a regular chumash. I want to show you what happens at the end. A pasuk that doesn't make any sense. We'll see it later on the source sheet. I just want to go right. I want to show you where the unit ends. Where's the unit end? What Tanakh should I use? I'll use a full Tanakh. And then we'll see it later in a regular one. In the end of chapter 11, we'll see Moshe tells Pharaoh about Makat Bechorot. Okay? This is right before, this is the end of chapter 12, in case you forgot, it's Parshat HaChodesh. That's Moshe talking to Bnei Yisrael. Remember, Dabrua Bnei Yisrael. Chapter 12, the focus changes. Let's go back to the end of chapter 11. God in chapter 11 tells Moshe Rabbeinu, one more plague and it's over. See how this unit's going to end? God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, after Choshech, one more plague, I'm going to be on Paro, and then he's going to send you out. What's that imply? Now he's going to send you out. When he sends you out, he's going to kick you out. Remember to serve God. And then remind the people to borrow. Now, how is this different than everything else? Up until now, what's God been doing? He's been hardening his heart. What's God tell Moshe after Choshech? That's it. Next plague, I'm not going to harden his heart. You with me? Okay. And therefore, this time he's going to send you out. And then God tells Moshe, tells Paro about, we'll do this plague later on. You're going to come to me, okay, and tell me to get out. And we'll deal with this plague later on. When this ends, God just told Moshe Rabbeinu, the next plague is the last plague. I'm going to harden his heart. Listen how this unit ends. Pasuk Tet. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Lo yishma lechem paro leman revot maftai beretz Mitzrayim. I'm asking the same question here. Okay? Is this in real time or is this a summary? You with me? Yeah. Tell me, why can't it be a summary? I mean, I'm sorry, why can't it be? Why can't it be in real time? It has to be a summary. It has to be a summary because Paro is going to listen now and he's going to send them out. But this is summarizing the whole unit, chapter 7 to 11. This is, God had told Moshe. It's not in real time. This is summarizing it. God had told Moshe, Paro won't listen to you. And Moshe Aaron asuad kom of Tima'ile. Perfect, right? Remember, we asked Moshe Aaron. You can't do this without seeing the Tanakh inside flipping pages. But I hope you picture it in your head. Beforehand, we had, Bayas Moshe Aaron at Kosher Tziva Hashem in chapter 7 in the introduction. And now at the conclusion, Moshe and Aaron did all these maftim in front of Paro. Vaychazek Hashem elei Paro v'lo shilach b'nei Yisrael. So that's a summary. You with me? I'm trying to identify unit 7-11. Got it? And get used to that because Chumash works in units. If you don't understand that, you'll get all confused with chronology. Once you understand there's units, it works on the high. It's called Megillot, Megillot, Nita, the Torah. And when you understand, when you think in units, it makes everything a lot easier to follow. Same thing, once you understand there's chiasms. Not all the time, but sometimes. that explains units that Pesukim seem to be jumping around. All of a sudden, they become clear. It's like the example I like to give is when you look at the universe, assuming the Earth is at the center, and the planets go around us, and the sun goes around the Earth. You try to trace the planets, etc. Things are crazy, right? When you change the way you're thinking, right? And the sun is at the center. Everything's clear. The same thing. If you think the Earth is flat, and you look at distances, you've got all these problems. Once you understand it's round, called Euclidean geometry, you know, same thing, then the way the plane flies and the way things move makes a lot more sense. So basically, you have to understand what you're looking at. Same thing. Understanding the Chumash works in these units or boxes will clarify things. Also, I try to show you now, there's a box from chapter 7 to 11. Now, we're going to have some fun for a second. I want to show you, there's one thing that every plague in this unit has in common. Someone tell me, what's it going to be? What are we going to find in every single plague? There'll be plague after plague. There'll be sometimes meet him at the river, sometimes without a warning, sometimes go to his palace, sometimes he'll use his hand, sometimes there'll be the mateh, sometimes his yad, sometimes nothing. But what's going to be common to all of them? Anyone knows?
The Jews are not affected. The Jews are not affected by the plague.
Not in all of them. It doesn't say that in all of them. It only starts that from the fourth plague.
Oh, Paro doesn't listen.
That's the main thing. Either Paro on his own doesn't listen, or his heart is either hardened or heavy, which seem to be synonymous, even though there's a good reason for the change between them, and or God does it for him. So let me just show you real quick to make sure it's clear. I want to help you appreciate what this unit is. Where are we? Here we are. No, that's not what I wanted. No, I wanted the internet. One second. I want my chumash open. Here we go. I'm going to use a regular chumash. I think it's easier with one of these. Okay, so let's take a look in chapter 7, right? In Dam. What happens in Dam? Dam starts in 14. Here. Vayasuchen achartubim mitzrayim. They also turned the water into blood. Vayechazach leiporo v'lo shamay lehem. Kashir diber Hashem. Right, that's the end of, and then 7 days pass after, God hits the Nile. Remember the Nile, one of the big Egyptian gods. So that's plague number one. Actually, if I go back, if I include Tanin as the first plague or the first time, after Tanin, what happens? Now, Tanin is Tanin HaMakah. It's unclear. Because Moshe Aaron, they use the staff, but there's no damage done. It just turns into a tanin. And the Chartumim do the same thing. Is that included in the unit? You know, some people say the 333 begins with tanin and then, tanin and then dam and then svardea. And then, shkin opens up the next thing. But that's a different discussion. What's important now in this unit, again, v'yachazek leiporo v'shem aleihem after tanin. V'yachazek leiporo after after blood, after dam. We have that right here. Okay. How about Sfardea? That's going to be in Perachet now. He brings Member Bo Paro. Remember, first meet him at the river and then go to his palace. What happens at the end of this one? Okay. Paro saw that it stopped. V'achbedit libo v'lo shema lehem kashir diber Hashem. Again, listen. After Shechin, what happens? Not Shechin, I'm sorry, Kinim. What's it say? Chartumim do the same thing. Ve'chazak le'paro v'lo shema lehem. Not every time it says v'lo shema lehem, but it's implicit. V'lo shema lehem. Chizuk alev. Plague number 4. Ve'chabed paro libo v'gam ha'pam hazot v'lo shilach ha'am. That's plague, Gam She'bam. Tam, Shechin. Fourth plague. What's the fourth plague? Arov. Okay. Now, next plague. We're up to Perek Tetna. Plague number 5, Dever. Okay? What happens there? We're 5 for 5 now. Next one. Shechin, Vaychazak le poro, v'loshem aleihem. 7, the big one. It's going to be Barad. How is Barad going to end? Vaychazak le poro, v'loshilach b'nei Yisrael, kashiri b'Hashem et Moshe. Okay? That's 7 down. That's number 8. We get Arbe in Parshat Bo. We just had this yesterday. How's it end? And now we're ready for Choshech, okay? Choshech will be the same thing. And then in chapter 11, how's the unit end? God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, one more plague, and this time he's going to send you out. And therefore I won't harden his heart. And now I hope you understand the title, Moshe's in the dark until Choshech. Meaning, all Moshe knows is, because every time God tells Moshe, go do some plague, some makar, remember, Rabbi Jay mentioned in one of his Friday shiurim, that never calls it makot. We had a discussion about it. They're nega, they're all different things, but we call them makot. But Chumash doesn't call them makot, but they're still, we can still call them plagues. If we call them plagues, we're okay. Makot, we have to be careful. That show was a big hit, by the way, Rabbi Jay. You got my pun. Now back to back to what's happening. But I'm trying to show you, I'm not sure exactly why, but God, Moshe, I'm saying, doesn't know how many plagues there's going to be. And he doesn't know until the last minute that this would be the last one. So keep that in mind. At least Chumash doesn't tell us he knows. Now, I want to go back and talk about Choshech now and see what's happened special. I want to show you the first time that maybe Moshe is making his own decision. I'm not sure, but it's a possibility. We'll consider it. Now we're going to go slow. We're going to go back to Choshech. And just for the fun of it, how many days was Choshech? Just a quick question.
3 days.
According to Chumash. And if you know Rashi.
Seven.
Rashi adds 3 and 3 and he gets to 7, and then the last day is 7, because we want all the plagues to be 7 days. But in Pshat, we'll see why it's important that it's 3 days. Hold on to that. Rashi's on to something else, but that's a class in Midrash. Now watch what we're going to do now. Okay. Now we're back to Choshech. Why am I doing this in Hebrew? Wait, where are we? Oh yeah, we did that right here. Okay, I know what I'm doing. I mean, I know. I want to do this just in Hebrew because I want to point out the structure. So I'll translate as we go on. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Netei yadcha al ha-shamayim v'choshech al eretz Mitzrayim. Now, if you want to do something fun, maybe we'll have time to do it later on. You'll pay attention. Before every plague, God will tell Moshe either to stretch out his hand and Moshe will take his staff, or God will tell Moshe, take your staff, and Moshe will stretch his hand. Okay? This is almost the only time, I think, maybe we'll check it out real fast, where he does it exactly. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Neteet yadcha al ha-shamayim v'choshech. And what's Moshe do? Ve'et Moshe et yado. I'll show you a couple, okay? Let's just go back for a minute where we were before. Just pick any plague. Just give me a number from 1 to 8 or 2 to 8.
4.
Okay, let's try 4. Let's share my screen and let's go to Chumash. Plague number 4 is going to be in chapter 8, I guess. Let's pick a plague. Yeah, chapter 8. Oh, here, it's easy. Move your hand with your mateh. That gives it away. Okay? Move your hand with your mateh. Al-narot, ve'it aron et yado. Maybe, sorry, that's far there. That was 2. Let's go 3. Here. Tell Aaron, netei matcha v'achatafara aretz. Okay. No, God tells Aaron, take your mateh and hit the land. What's Aaron do? Vayet Aaron et yado.
No, it's also be mateu.
Mateu, yeah.
No,
it's better.
That's the same.
Explain. Hashkem b'boker v'tev ha'paro. Okay. If not, I'll send you a rov. Now, Samti Fadut. Okay, he calls Pharaoh, and then what happens? Where's the plague? Wait, that when the plague is over, I'm sorry. But Martha came, Gimecha.
Vayas
came. Okay, no, there's nothing. This one just happens. A rov just happens. Okay, the next one, Perek Tet. Okay, Neyar Hashem Hoya. Okay, Machar. Okay, here. Chofnechem Kivshan Eish. It's just his hands. There's no mateh there. Okay, look at Barad. Here. Vayim Hashem Moshe, Nitet Yadcha L'Shamayim. Vayim Barad. Okay. Vayim Moshe Mateo. God says, Nitet Yadcha L'Shamayim. And Moshe takes his Mateo. See that? It's never exactly the same, except when you get to Hoshech. Let's look at Arbe real fast. Arbe, where's Arbe? Here. Vayim Hashem, Nitet Yadcha L'Eretz Mitzrayim. Bayal Eretz Mitzrayim, Bayit Moshe Mateo. See that? God tells Moshe, Nitet Yadcha, and Bayit Moshe Mateo. Now, I'm not sure why, but I think the reason is why we want to make sure it's not the Yad or the Mateh. You follow? It's God doing it. When we get to Chet Ege, maybe we'll see, but that's going to be important. Or that was the Mateh is going to, there's always a question, are the symbols that connect you to God, or the symbols become a God? It's how Avodah Zarah begins. In other words, when you have some symbol of God and the symbol becomes the God. That's classic Avodah Zarah problem. We'll deal with that later on when we get to Mechamet Amalek. Now, let's get back to where we were. I shouldn't have taken that break. Let's go back. Forget what we just did. That was just a quick break. Let's go back now and do Choshech. Okay, here we are. Choshech is right here. So let's go again. That does Moshe. Three days of Choshech. No one saw each other. Ish mitachtav, 3 days. In contrast, remember this line, we have light, they don't. Okay. Now, we're going to follow, make this nice and big. Oh, that's too big. Okay, here we go. Let's follow. Maybe we should do it like I do in class. I want to follow. When I do this in class, I have someone has to read. Someone has to be Moshe. Someone has to be Pharaoh. Someone has to be the narrator. Got it? Okay. So here's the narrator. The narrator, Vayikra Paro and Moshe. And Paro says, you have to put this on like a playing class. So you have the narrator. You have someone playing Pharaoh, someone playing Moshe Rabbeinu, someone playing God. It's a lot of fun, but it's hard to do on Zoom, okay? Vayomer Moshe, in case you're a teacher, you can try it one time. L'chu yivdu et Hashem, go serve your God, just leave your cattle behind. Yeah, take the women and children like you asked, okay? Moshe gives a crazy excuse. What's he say? Even if you give us the animals, right? Right? That's not enough. We have to take our animals with us. We can't leave anything behind. Why? Because we don't know what God's going to ask for. He gives the craziest reason, because we have to serve our God. We don't know what God's going to ask, how we're going to serve him. Therefore, we have to take everything we own to go serve our God. Pharaoh doesn't buy it. Agree? And therefore, now, again, God hardens Pharaoh's heart. How does he do it? By telling Moshe to give this excuse. V'yemer l'paro, listen carefully. Lech mi'alai. Get out of here. Hishamer l'cha. Al tosef rot panai ki v'yom rotcha panai temut. Come back here again, you're dead. Moshe is now a persona non grata. Up until now, he was representing the Jewish people. Enough is enough. Next time you come here, you're dead. Now, what's Moshe answer? Ken dibarta, lo sif lo panecha. You're right, I'm not coming back here again. Now, here's a question. You tell me, you can take a vote. Does Moshe know this? Because he wrote the book? Or did Moshe decide this? When Paro tells Moshe, don't come back here again, Moshe tells him, you're right, I'm not coming back here again. Now, is that because Moshe knows something? Does he know that? Or is God making, is this the first time Moshe makes his own decision?
Well, this
now,
is,
what's going to happen next? I'll read the next question.
Maybe it's just bluster.
Excuse me?
Maybe it's just bluster or anger.
It could be. The question is it thought out? No, it's, now, the next pasuk is
the first time he was told what was going to happen.
Go ahead.
No, this is the first time he was told that this was the last plague. So
no, he wasn't told it's the last plague yet.
God told him that he would kill that there would be the plague that he would kill earlier, much earlier, before all the other plagues begin.
Okay, that, we'll see Ebenezer in a minute. Okay.
God tells Moshe.
You're quoting Ebenezer. We'll get to him. But before we get to the Parsha name, I just want to show you it's problematic. Why? Because the next pasuk is God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, one more plague and it's over. Got it? Now, is this, you know, is God's, this is this in real, basically, this paragraph here, is this in real time or is this past perfect? Is this God talking to Moshe or is this paragraph Chumash talking to the reader? Do I read this? God had told Moshe. We'll see, that's Ebenezer and Asher, if I understood Asher correctly. Now Chumash has to explain why Moshe said this, because God had told Moshe already, this is the last plague. Or if it's in real time, like Rashi and Ramban say, then maybe God's decision is because Moshe said this. We'll see what Chazal say. We'll get to Chazal in a minute. Now, if I was in camp and teaching leadership, got it? I'd go in this direction, that finally Moshe says, what do you call it? Makes his own decision. And God says, I got a leader, now we can leave. Because Moshe's ready to lead them. Again, I'm not sure it's shot, but it's a great word for a leadership seminar. Now, or it could be, is what most parshim go in this direction, Moshe said this on his own, right? And God now decides, because Pharaoh said, I'll kill you, God says, I've had it with Pharaoh, that's it. I got to take him out. Notice, is God deciding it's the last plague because of what Moshe said or because of what Pharaoh said? Well, you can go either way. Now, let's look at this paragraph and see what's problematic about it. Okay? The question is this paragraph, Chumash talking to the reader, it's like a footnote to what's happening. We'll see Ebenezer will explain that in a minute. Or is it in real time? Now, let's see what's problematic. Remember how the whole unit way back? But he's not ready yet. You'll see. Now we'll see. In other words, after this plague, one more plague, this time he's going to send you out. He'll throw you out. Now, what's problematic here? What does God tell Moshe? What doesn't he tell Moshe? He's telling Moshe one more plague.
But
he tell him?
What it is.
But he knows what it is. So how's he know it? So Asher will explain. He told him back in Midian about Makat Bechoro. Because Asher either was thinking like the Ebenezer or read the Ebenezer. Huh? I'm not sure which is a bigger compliment. Okay, Asher? Now, what I'm getting at, does Moshe know that it's the last plague? Does Moshe know about Makat Bechorot already? Or not? It could be. But what's interesting, God's going to tell Moshe Rabbeinu one more plague and it's over. He doesn't say what the plague's going to be. But we'll see in a minute, Moshe knows. Ramban will deal with, every Parshan has to deal with this. Because it's the problem, it didn't say anywhere in Chumash yet about all the details of Makat Bechorot, correct? So in Midian, God told Moshe, tell Pharaoh, I'll kill your firstborn, but not when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, all the firstborn, the animals, all the details are missing. But we'll see in a minute, Moshe seems to know that. Now that this is going to be the next plague, is the last plague, now tell the people of Israel, tell the people, remember to borrow from your neighbors, Klei Chesed and Klei Zahav. And God will make sure it works. God will make, he'll give favor in the eyes of the people. They'll be willing to borrow because they're convinced we have to go serve our God. And Moshe now is the most popular guy in Egypt. Because he can save the country. Pharaoh's a lousy leader. Pharaoh's ruining Egypt because he's obstinate and doesn't let them go serve their God. And Moshe is doing what's best for Egypt. He's, we can solve your problems with all these plagues. Just let us serve our God. In the eyes of Pharaoh's cabinet ministers, right? And the people, there's Moshe's Mr. Popular, and Pharaoh's ratings just went down. Moshe's like hitting 80%, and Pharaoh's at 20%. Okay. Now comes the most interesting pasuk. Vayomer Moshe, kol amar Hashem. When I teach this to students, put in quotation marks. You see? Now, most people, when they read this, think that Moshe's talking to Bnei Yisrael. Why? Because Moshe, God just told Moshe Rabbeinu, tell Bnei Yisrael, remember to borrow. And Moshe left Pharaoh. Remember, they had a shout out, and Moshe says, I'm not coming back here again. And when you finish chapter 10, everyone thinks Moshe left. when I do this in class, it happens all the time. But when you read carefully, Moshe didn't leave yet because he's got to get the last words in. Now, Moshe says, Kol Amar Hashem, and we'll prove he has to be talking to Pharaoh. Kechatzot HaLaila, we'll return to this phrase in a minute. Ani Yotzei B'toch Mitzrayim. And now Moshe gives Pharaoh the warning of Makat Bechorot. That was, even though Moshe Paro told him don't come back again, before he leaves, he has to warn him about Makat Bechorot, because all the plagues have a warning. At least 3, 6, and 9, and now, I mean, except for 3, 6, and 9. Now he's warning him about Makat Bechorot. Right? And now he gives all the details. Bechor Paro, Yishev Kiso, okay, Kol Bechor Behima.
That makes no sense.
Yeah, Dori, go ahead.
It makes no sense, because if he would say B'chor Paro, he would say B'chor Chai. If he's talking to Paro, he would talk in the second person. I think that if he says Ken Dibarta, you know, whatever, and he agreed, he left, and he's talking to Bnei Israel. I can't see.
Oh, no,
that.
No, listen, there's two sets of quotation marks. I'll explain Dorit's question, okay? If he's talking to Paro, he should say B'chor Chai. But Moshe is quoting what God told him. Ko Amar Hashem, okay? God, Moshe is telling Pharaoh, here's what God told me. Watch how we go from first person to third person. Watch what happens. Kol Amar Hashem. This is Moshe quoting God talking to Moshe. Follow the droid. Listen carefully. That's God talking to Moshe, Rabbeinu. But Moshe is telling this to Pharaoh. Got it? Moshe is quoting to Pharaoh, here's what God told me. At midnight, the Bimakat Bechorot. From Bechor Paro, Yoshev Kisto, and Bechor Ashivcha, Bechor Bechor Behima. And to be a great Saka. And Ulecho B'nei Yisrael, Lo Yechratz Kelo L'Shono. Maybe I'll read the Psukim in English in a minute. Me'esha V'isha. So you know that God divides between, separates between Egypt and Israel. Now comes the big line. Now he finished quoting God. And now he's talking directly to Pharaoh. V'yardu kol avadecha elei elai v'shavu le'lemor. That's Moshe talking to Pharaoh. You follow? This is Moshe, God talking to Moshe, in the quote. And now here, Moshe is talking to Pharaoh. You and all your cabinet ministers, not your slaves, your cabinet ministers, Abdei Paro, are going to come to me. Remember, I'm not coming back to you, but you're coming back to me. They're going to bow down to me and say, get out of my country to go serve your God. You and all your people go out, and then we're going to leave. Then we're going to leave Egypt and serve our God. And then slams the door, and then Moshe leaves Pharaoh's palace. Pasuk Chet proves that Pasuk Dalet, Moshe is talking to Pharaoh. You follow?
But and couldn't it be when Pharaoh, he says...
First he's quoting God, and then he's talking to Pharaoh, quoting what God told him. When you read carefully, it works like the T. We'll go back over it again.
And couldn't it be even saying Bechor Paro is a way that you speak to Malchus, you know, in third person?
Well, it could be, but listen, if God told Moshe, I'm going to kill Hinei Anochi Bechorcha, notice what Moshe says here, Yerdu kol avadecha, your servant can come to me, what's that implying? You might be dead. If Makat Bechor is going to hit you, remember? If Makat was going to hit Pharaoh himself, not just his son, but Pharaoh himself, maybe you won't be around. Maybe Moshe doesn't know whether Pharaoh's going to survive or not, but your cabinet ministers, for sure, they're going to come to me. And tell me, get out the country, then we'll leave. But sorry, Moshe is saying is, remember, you're fired, I quit. And now that next time I'm not coming back to you, you're coming to me.
No. But then why would he say, go up, go, you know, like, no, the one before, where he says, okay, you know, so why would he say, okay, if he keeps talking to him?
I'll say your question better. All the parshim ask, if Moshe never left, if Moshe doesn't leave in the end of chapter 9, in the end of chapter
That's
10.
That's right. Why would he say Ken Dibarta? It makes no sense.
Yeah. What's this doing here? So if I follow Aben Ezra and Asher, this is Chumash talking to the reader like a footnote. And basically, in real time, we go from here right to Pasuk Dalet. Now it's in real time, if I follow the Parshanim here, we go from here right to here. And this is a footnote.
May I make
this
a...
Chum is telling the reader to understand how Moshe knows this. If it's in real time, Moshe got Nevuah in Pharaoh's palace. That's what all the Parshanim are going to talk about. Chazal say, no, so Moshe shouldn't be a liar. God has to tell, no, God has to tell Moshe. Moshe just said, I'm not coming back here again. So to make sure Moshe's not a liar, God has to tell Moshe, Rabbeinu, don't worry, it's the last plague. If we have time, we'll see the Parshanim on this. It's awesome. Now, you have to do one thing for me now. Okay? I want someone to translate into English carefully this phrase, Kechotzot HaLaila. Someone give it a try.
At the middle of the night. About the middle of the night.
About the middle of the night.
You're worried about the cuff. I'm worried about the hay.
That night. HaLaila, that night.
HaLaila HaZeh. What night is it?
The 14th.
Tonight at midnight.
That means tonight.
It's
simple Hebrew. God, Moshe is telling Pharaoh, tonight at midnight, it's over. Chatzot HaLaila is tonight at midnight, isn't it?
Yeah.
That would be HaLaila HaZeh.
No.
No, that's if you're talking about, that's if you're in Haggadah.
HaLaila HaZeh is this night. Just HaLaila is the night. It's up to, and we'll see what that night is.
No, but if you say tonight at midnight, Kechatzot HaLaila, and you'll say B'toch Mitzrayim. I think it could be, listen, if it's tonight at midnight, it's awesome. Why? Because when's this argument happening? After Choshech. Agreed? Now, Choshech was 3 days. If tonight at midnight is Makat Bechorot, what day is it on the Hebrew calendar? Listen carefully. Here, everyone has to stay awake. If this is tonight at midnight, and we just have three, what day is it?
Should be the 14th.
It has to be the 14th of Nisan in the morning, which means what were the 3 days of Choshech?
When they took the Korban Pesach.
11th, 12th, and 13th. When did they take the lamb? On the 10th. I was waiting for do this after Parshat Bo. This is fresh in your memory. It explains why we take the lamb on the 10th. Because the next 3 days are Choshech. Now, when do we do B'dikat Chametz?
The 13th.
At the same time the Choshech was over. Remember? When do we do B'dikat Chametz? If the 3 days of Choshech is the 11th, 12th, and 13th, U'l'chol b'nei Yisrael ya'or b'moshvotam, when is this? This is at the end of the 13th or Orl HaVasar. Who knows Masechet Pesachim? Where do we do? How does Masechet Pesachim begin? Orl HaVasar, but Kimat HaChametz. Why Or? Remember, Or does mean night or day. That opening Mishnah in Pesachim is built on this. We have Or, they have Choshech. But this is 11th, 12th, and 13th. Now, if this is all happening on the, if this shout out is on the 14th, or the third after Choshech, 14th in the morning, how does Moshe know about Makat Bechorot? Let me stop this here for a minute. When Moshe talks to Pharaoh now, he warns about all the details about Bechorot. When did God tell Moshe about Makat Bechorot?
On the 14th, because it was that night.
No, Molly was saying something.
I'm sorry.
Unmute, Molly. That's better, okay.
I think before the 14th.
It must have been before the 14th. But tell me when. Chumash tells us when Moshe found out about Makat Bechorot. You were in Shul yesterday, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. What did God tell Moshe on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? All the laws of Pesach Mitzrayim. Why? Let's take a look, okay? You know by heart, but let's take a look. Let's open up a Chumash. Here we go. I'll do the English Hebrew now. Nice and easy. Just look at chapter 12. What if my claim is chapter 12 happened earlier? And that's why I spent all the time about that unit from 7 to 11. Chapter 12, I'm going now. I'm have a flashback now. In the meantime, God's getting Am Yisrael ready. And 2 weeks earlier already, God had already told Moshe Rabbeinu about what? On Rosh Chodesh Nisan, to tell the people to prepare to take a lamb on the 10th, got it? Keep it for 3 days, which coincide with the 3 days of Choshech. Remember? And they will eat the meat that night, and they'll shecht it during the day, to the 14th, shecht it bein harbaim, sprinkle the blood, eat it that night, etc. No leftovers, etc. Eat it well dressed, etc. Keep all that in mind. And listen, Vavarti bears the sign of Laila Hazeh. Okay? on that night of the 14th, v'keti kol b'chol b'eretz Mitzrayim, listen word for word, mi'adam v'ad behima, b'chol elim b'sem eser shvatim ani Hashem, v'ayah adam lechem lo'ot, alavati v'asher tem sham, riti et adam v'fasachti alechem, b'leib et sesef. Got it? That's the end of Pesach Mitzrayim. Pesach Dorot, that God tells Moshe later on. I'll prove that later on. But this is what Moshe tells the people. Look carefully. Moshe tells the people here about Pesach Mitzrayim. He never tells them they're leaving that night. Okay? Moshe calls El Michu, take the Pesach, how to sprinkle the blood, etc. V'avar Shem nimgofet Mitzrayim, v'rat adam v'mashkof, v'rit ha'shtem azutot, v'sach ala petach, etc. V'lo yiten mashchit, v'techem nimgof. Okay. I'm sorry, and what to say beforehand? V'atem lo teitu shmitach b'toad boker. In other words, the only law here is about makat v'chorot. Got it? And to save yourself a makat v'chorot, stay home that night and do the korban in the morning. He doesn't tell them they're leaving that night. Instead, no, he says, you stay in your house all night long. And if your kids ask you in the future, on the anniversary of this event, when you bring Pesach, why am I bringing Pesach? I'm bringing Pesach to remember God saved me from Makat B'chorot. And even if we didn't leave Egypt that night, I'd still bring Pesach on the 14th at night, going to the 15th. In other words, if God only saved me from Makat B'chorot and didn't leave Egypt that night, Dayenu. Just take the Lehodot. You with me?
Dayenu.
On Rosh Chodesh Nisan, what does Moshe know? He knows that Makat B'chorot is going to happen on the 14th. What doesn't he know?
That they're going to leave.
The last plague. Because what's been happening every plague? God's been hardening his heart. All through 7-11, from chapter 7 to 11, it's happening over and over again. Moshe's job is to fail. Moshe warns Pharaoh every time, and God hardens his heart. Why should this be any different? And now, on the 14th in the morning, let's go back now to chapter 11. Look how awesome it is now. Where's chapter 11? Here. Remember, chapter 12 happened, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, a week and a half before Choshech. So Moshe knows that Makat B'chor is going to be on the 14th. He doesn't know it's the last plague until when? Until, in real time, V'ayom HaShem HaMoshe, Od Negech HaRavi HaParo, Achrei Nishalach Etchem. Got it? In other words, Moshe knows what the plague is going to be. He doesn't know it's the last plague. Got my? And now everything makes perfect sense. Now let's go back to the source sheet and you'll see how beautiful, how the units work and how the parshiot work. Where are we? Here we are. Let's go back to here. We have the 3 days of Choshech. Got it? Paro and Moshe have a shout out. Moshe, let me make it smaller here. Okay. Moshe tells Pharaoh, because I'm the side here. Moshe tells Pharaoh, Lech me alive, but don't come here again. Moshe says, I'm not coming back. In the middle of this argument, Moshe didn't leave yet. Moshe gets a beeper from God. Moshe gets a nevuah. And God tells him that what? One more plague and it's over. In other words, God decides at the last minute. In other words, that what causes God's decision? Either Pharaoh's decision to kill Moshe or Moshe's decision to make his own decision, depending on how you're teaching it. But either way, this argument leads God to make his decision. It's over. And now at the last minute, that Rabbi Jay in his Parsha share gave, I think, I'm pretty sure talked about that it could have happened after seven plagues. Pharaoh could have let them out, but he decided every time not to do it. But it's not clear how many plagues there needs to be. But here again, Moshe knows what the next plague, what's going to happen that night. He knows it's Makat B'chorot. He doesn't know that God's not going to harden his heart until God tells him in the middle, on the 14th in the morning, it's over. And then this time he's going to send you out. It means I'm not going to harden his heart. That's why it ends the unit. And now that you're leaving Egypt that night, tell the people of Israel, remember to borrow, because tonight you're leaving. Now, people ask, how come we have to be well-dressed? If we're not leaving that night, why are we well-dressed for the Pesach? Got it? Because you come, it's a family meal, you come well-dressed. Now, I don't need to come well-dressed to a family meal because we're leaving Egypt that night. I need to come well-dressed because it's Shabbos, it's Yom Tov. Remember? You're having a family meal, You have all night to talk about it. No one's in a rush. And it says you don't leave the house all night. You have 12 hours. There's no chipazot. There's no, you have to eat the meat eagerly, but not because you're leaving in 2 minutes. You have all night. No one, they finish eating before chatzot. Don't worry. In the middle of the night, they're woken up to go leave the country. Remember, they're told not to leave the house, not till midnight. They finished the meal already. They're singing Chagadi already when Makat Bechor happened. But the what I'm getting at, this is last minute instructions to Moshe Rabbeinu. And now that God tells Moshe the next plague is the last plague, Moshe, before he leaves, can give the warning about Makat Bechorot and tell him, tonight you're coming to me. I'm not coming to you anymore. And then, now that that's over, then I summarize the, what do you call it? Then I summarize the, then I have that summary pasuk. Let's go back now to a regular chumash. I'm sorry, stop the share.
Ay.
I hope I wasn't too confusing. Let me go back to my regular chumash. Here we are. No, where are we here? This one. Oh, it was right there. No, it wasn't. Here we are. This one. Let's go back to a regular chumash. And chapter 11, here. Moshe gives that last warning, and then Chumash summarizes now that God told Moshe Rabbeinu the next plague is the last plague. Moshe finishes warning Pharaoh, tonight at midnight it's over, you're going to come to me. And then Moshe leaves Pharaoh's palace with anger. And then Chumash summarizes, God had told Moshe, Paro won't listen to you. This has to be a summary because God told Moshe just a minute ago, this time he I won't harden his heart. But this summarizes the whole unit from 7 to 11. Tata Moshe, Paro won't listen to you. And Moshe did all these things. And God hardened Pharaoh's heart and didn't send them out up until now. Now, he will send them out. Then I have a flashback now in chapter 12. I start the unit getting, now that Egypt is ready, now I get Am Yisrael ready in chapter 12, in the first half of chapter 12. And then, after Am Yisrael is ready, the Korban Pesach, then, Vayi Bechatzei HaLaila, Sipor Yitzat Mitzrayim. Hope that wasn't too confusing. But now, hope you understand what I tried to do tonight. Number, I try to explain the problem of the beginning of chapter. First of all, identifying the unit explains why it makes more sense that Moshe gets the commandment that we're leaving Egypt tonight at the last minute on the 14th, because Moshe's in the dark until Choshech. Got the idea now? And then everything's last minute, everything rushed. We know we have Pesach that night. We don't know we're leaving that night until 14th in the morning. It's a really busy day at Erev Pesach. And now I go back, and now I focus on the Jewish people, getting them ready. And what's really neat is that when we bring an offering and all our houses are saved, that convinces the Egyptians that Jewish sacrifice can stop a plague. And that's why in the middle of that night, as soon as all the Egyptians see they're dying, and Jews aren't dying, go serve your God, because you're convinced that Jewish sacrifice will save them. That we did already in the last year to prove, you know, what God's master plan was to get the Jews out of Egypt, to get Egypt to kick us out. And that's what's going to happen. B'chatzei HaLaila. Now, next week we have to go back and see how we get Am Yisrael ready. How come they're not ready beforehand, and how they get ready. That's how Pesach gets them ready. Okay. Chipazon. Okay, I'll ask the latest question. Eating the chipazon is not because you're in a rush to leave Egypt. Chipazon means eat it eagerly. That's how it's be like you can't wait for the meal. Like at a cookout, you can't wait till the burgers are ready. I said, chipazon means don't sit, watch the news first. Come well dressed, come with eagerness, be excited about it.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Ramban, who believes that the Torah was written in correct order, how would he explain?
Oh, okay. Our time is up, but we'll do overtime for you. Okay? Susan's question. Don't think the Ramban wasn't bothered by this. Okay? And it's on the source sheet, but we're not going to get it all done. Let's just show you where's the source sheet. Where are we? I've got all lost. Here we are. Here's our source sheet. Okay. This Eben Ezra that held like Asher, that that Pasek Dalet basically should have been at the beginning of chapter 11. And Odeg Echad, okay, is basically what happened earlier. Ukvar Amar Hashem. This Chumash is telling the reader what God had told Moshe Rabbeinu. You can read later on your own. And then what did God tell him back in Midian and back at the burning bush? He solves it his way. Okay. Rashi argues, I mean, he said it before, Ebenezer. Moshe got this nevuah in real time in front of Pharaoh in the middle of his palace. Okay? Because he didn't want to be a liar. And then Rashban says the same thing. All they'll say, God told Moshe when he's still standing in front of Pharaoh. Okay? And then one more plague, Achrei Chen Yishiv Moshe Paro, after God told him this, B'chatzot HaLaila, like we explained. Okay? Paro won't listen. Okay? And then Klomar, remember, that was the end of the thing. After every plague, that God told Moshe to tell Aaron, Paro didn't listen, right? Because God hardened his heart. Every time he explains it, Rashbam is a summary. Basically, Rashbam says everything we said in much less words. Now, first Rambam brings that Moshe got the nevuah out of nowhere, like in Paro's palace, Katzava Elokim Kibyachu Nichas Lepatin Shaparo, okay? Because so he shouldn't be found as a liar, because I'm not coming back here again. I'll have to come back and give him the warning. And then usually God doesn't give nevuah, because before he said I have to leave to pray to God. Okay? But then he explains why, he has to explain how Moshe knows. He goes back that Moshe probably told him, God probably told him everything, but Ramban has a shita that whenever some of the information is God talking to Moshe and the other Moshe talking to Pharaoh or both talking to the people, he's split up half and half. That's Ramban's shita all the way through. But here's Susan's question, okay?
I've been on earth.
Listen carefully. Here's Susan's question. Okay. First of all, he's talking to Pharaoh, not to the people, the Elvadav. The proof from the end, okay? Now, here's your question, Susan. Right? He says, this must mean some night at midnight, but he didn't say what night it's going to be. Why? He goes, how come it can't mean tonight at midnight? Because chapter 11 is before chapter 12.
Okay.
Right? So Ramban, who keeps Chumash in order, right, can't say what I said because chapter 12 didn't happen yet. But if you follow in Mukdam u'Mukhar, and there's a reason for it because of the unit, that solves Ramban's problem. But you understand Ramban could never agree with what we did. But he explains why. But you see, in his commentary, he thinks it must mean tonight at midnight, otherwise it wouldn't bother him. Okay? In other words, he says it means some night at midnight, but he's bothered because it really means tonight at midnight. But it can't be that because this is before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Okay? Ukshomar kechatzot halayla, lo yodei ze layla hu. V'hinei lo hodiyam Moshe leil machatam. Okay? You'll lose sleep every night, you'll be worried. You don't know what night it's going to be. I'm not going to come back to you again, but next time you're going to call me and you're going to bow down to me. But what night, we don't know yet. You'll find out the hard way. But you understand, Susan?
Thank you very much. Yes, okay. Thank you.
That was his question. Ramban was right there on the spot. But yeah. That proves my point that Halayla must, I said, Ramban was bothered by Halayla means tonight at midnight, but it can't mean that. So he has to kvetch. That's not nice. He has to explain. But you see, all the Parshim are reading it so carefully. So what I try to add is when you understand the idea of a unit, it solves the chronological problem and makes the story amazing. How God's decision, and again, if I want to teach leadership, for the first time Moshe makes his own decision, or if I want to teach Hashgacha because Pharaoh said, I'm going to kill you, God said, I've had it with Paro, it's time to, I can't trust him anymore, now we've got to finish him off. But that's Moshe. Now, next week we have to go back and see how God gets Am Yisrael already. It's a whole different ballgame. But today, this is Kasher. I hope I fulfilled the beginning of Parsha Bo. L'mat saber b'osnei bincha, et asher talati b'mitzrayim. To understand how God brought us out of Egypt with all his tricks, etc. Hope I was Yotze. I hope I fulfilled the that pasuk. Okay, any more real quick questions? I'm way over time.
All right.
I hope that wasn't too confusing.
We're shedding light.
Okay.
Bravo, Menachem. Bravo.
Okay.
Okay, everybody. Okay,
we have to change the movie now. But the movie?
Yeah.
Again, if you find a hole in the theory, just share it with me. Okay? I think it makes sense. That's all. It's all in the psukim. But I hope the main goal I want to see, there's a unit that you can't miss. Yeah. That's most important. And these units are going to happen over and over again in Chumash. You have to get sensitive to find them. Okay, Rabbi Jay?
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, please go see you next week. And well, Chatzi Shah, Dr. Benny Gesundheit, Yivir Shir, Yerushalo, B'Sefer Tehillim. And then tomorrow we have a doubleheader, tomorrow, actually every day this week we have a double header, except for on Friday, but okay. But every day, tomorrow, Tamar Weisman at 11 o'clock, and then Mark Shapiro at night, the second part of the Langer series. So tomorrow she's starting five-part series on Megillat Esther. Those of you who heard her on December 25th, our Hanukkah, you know, programmed on Christmas, whatever, you know, the Hanukkah Christmas program, although I know that doesn't sound right. But that's really what it was in many ways, because we dealt with both these issues. But anyway, so she gave a very fascinating talk back then. So she'll be giving five-part series on Megillat Esther. It also looks quite different. I don't know exactly what to expect, on how her approach. And then, like I said earlier, Tuesday, Rabbi Adam Mintz is going to start a five-part series on the history or American Tshuvot of Orthodox rabbis on conversion over the last, you know, 800 years. And then all our regular classes during the week. Okay, and we look forward to learning with you. And as I always say, although not everybody listens, that's why I always have to say it, please invite a friend, because I tell if I don't see them, like if I only see familiar faces, so I know we don't have so many friends who haven't come before. But that's word of mouth is our best form of advertising. So we appreciate if you could help out. And that'd be great. Okay, everybody, be well, and we look forward to learning with you soon. Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
And okay.
Thank you.
Take care, everybody.
Okay, yeah, thank you.